What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sloan. I'm 14, and I know the NBA. On today's show, when this former NBA player was my age, he dreamt of playing in his hometown, Orlando, Florida, and he did. Today on Sloan Knows, I'm talking to Chandler Parsons about who he was at 14 and who he thinks has the best NBA style and a ton more. Okay, this is Sloan Knows. So everyone knows you as Chandler Parsons, the NBA player, but I'm more curious to know who Chandler Parsons, the 14-year-old in middle school, was.
So, you know, what's interesting is 14 for me, that was kind of when my life kind of changed. So my whole life, I grew up in Orlando, Florida. I was the youngest of four boys. I played baseball and I was pretty good. I won national championship 3 years in a row. I played all around the country on this travel team. And the high school my brothers went, their basketball program was awful and none of them really played. They all played baseball. And so when I was 14, it was kind of that time in my life where, you know, I started having growth spurts. Things started happening in my body, and baseball, I wasn't very good. I can kind of see myself falling off, right? And so I started playing basketball at the park, and literally just one thing led to another where, you know, my freshman year of high school when I was 14 years old, I had made varsity baseball, but JV basketball. And I just remember I was like, man, I spent so much time my whole childhood, and all I knew was baseball growing up till I was 14. Now I'm even still better at it currently, but I like basketball so much more. And I was so burnt out of baseball to where I remember I went to one game and I didn't start, and my mom was livid and she literally like pulled me out of the lock of the dugout and was like, you're playing basketball now. This baseball program is horrible. Like, and I was growing at like a rapid pace.
How tall were you?
I went from like 6 foot to 6'5" in like 3 months and a size 12 shoe to 15 shoe. Like, and it was the most gnarly growth spurt ever. And so that was when I was 14, that's when I started really focusing and kind of my life started being all about basketball, kind of finishing up eighth grade, going into high school is where I started really focusing in and narrowing in on basketball.
When you were 14, did you think that you could play in the NBA, or that wasn't even a thought?
No chance. I just wanted to make the team. I probably just wanted to, you know, be on varsity to get girls and to look cool. And I loved it, right? I grew up in Orlando. I was the biggest Orlando Magic fan.
That's definitely not a fun team.
No, but I would always watch. And like back in the day when I was growing up, like Shaq and Penny, that team, they were nasty. So I would watch the game on my house growing up. And during a timeout, whatever I would see, I'd go out to my backyard and I would try and react it, like reenact it and do everything they just did. So I kind of like, I always dreamt of like, man, one day, but I thought those guys were aliens. I thought it was so far away. I never could imagine myself making the NBA.
Who was like your idol when you were 14?
So that was kind of like when I started getting into basketball. I had loved those Magic teams. I'd love Shaq and Penny. And I had always loved Dirk Nowitzki, which full circle. I ended up playing with him for 2 years in Dallas, which was unbelievable. Like, he's coming to my wedding in October. Like, so it's cool. Now he's my boy. But yeah, I wore There was one year in elementary school where I wore a Dirk jersey in my yearbook picture, and I wore a Vince Carter jersey in my yearbook pictures, and I ended up playing with both of them.
Did you show them those pictures?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's so cool. Well, what was the thing that you remember most about middle school? Like, did you like it? I mean, I'm sure if you were 6'5", it was pretty fun for you.
Yeah, well, I wasn't 6'5" quite yet, but yeah, I mean, middle school, I just remember, like, it was walking distance from my parents' house, and everywhere, it was just like a big neighborhood, like camp every single day. Like, I loved middle school. I was never a big school guy. I really hated school, but I always was loved sports. I always was active. I was always playing like the intramural volleyball tournaments or dodgeball, whatever it was that week. And it was always hard for me to like pay attention in class, but whenever it was sports related, I was next level, like dialed, could, you know, I could tell you any offensive set or defensive coverage. And it just came to me easy when, for whatever reason, when it was sports related.
What was your dream college at 14? Did you always want to go to the University of Florida?
I did. I had always wanted to go there. I grew up an hour and a half south of Gainesville. And so I was always the biggest Gator fans. I would actually go to camps there when I was younger. I would go to Billy Donovan basketball camps. My schools would go to team camps.
Yeah, I've gone to all the like UCLA soccer camps.
Is that where you want to go, UCLA?
I don't know. Because like, I think I want to leave LA. Because I think I'm going to come back here when I'm an adult. So I feel like for those 4 years, I might as well go.
But UCLA over USC?
Yeah, probably.
Better area.
Okay, so when you were 14, like, what were you scared of? Because I feel like you were this big guy. You played baseball. You played basketball. Like, what were your biggest fears? Like, I'm petrified of pigeons.
Pigeons?
Yeah, which I feel like is like maybe like a kid thing. Definitely.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been into clowns. Hated clowns. And like people growing up, people always have clowns at their parties. And I think it's freaky and I think it's weird. I think there's no place for clowns. Honestly, growing up with four boys, like I think that's really what helped me pave my career too, is I was the youngest of four big dudes. So like I was always playing with kids older than me. I was always playing against bigger, stronger guys to where I would play against kids my own age. And I'm, this is easy. Like this is coming so easy because I'm so used to my brothers just picking on me and beating me up. So honestly, I was more scared of them than pigeons or clowns.
But I feel like with a clown now that you're like a grown man, you could just like walk up to a clown.
Yeah, now there's no beef with clowns.
Yeah, you definitely have a height advantage.
Yeah, I got it.
Now that we know who you were when you were 14, let's talk about now. So what do you think 14-year-old you would think about current Chandler Parsons?
I think they would not believe it, the kind of career I had, who I've become. Growing up where I grew up, it's that doesn't really happen often. And just, you know, to really say that I fulfilled and lived out my dream is really awesome. And, you know, I played 9 years in the NBA and played 4 years at my dream college, getting inducted into the Hall of Fame, University of Florida in October. So yeah, I think they'd be really proud. I think they'd be really hyped.
Do you ever, whenever you were in the middle of a game, did you ever just like think and like look around and be like, this is so surreal? Like when I was a kid, I would not believe this.
You have those moments. It's usually you have the moments like going up against someone. Like I said, when I signed in Dallas and I played with Dirk, or in Atlanta when I played with Vince Carter, those were those moments where even though that was later in my career where I was like, man, this is nuts. And then my first 2 years, I'm going up against like Kobe and Kevin Garnett. And I used to have posters on my wall against these guys. And now it's just kind of this full circle where I'm competing against them and I'm trying to, you know, do well against them. So it's definitely surreal, but I think once you're in the heat of it and once you're competing, all that stuff kind of goes away.
Speaking of that, what was like your welcome to the league moment?
You know what? I loved the Celtics growing up. So right on draft day when I got drafted, the coach and the GM of the Houston Rockets was Kevin McHale. And I loved him. I loved Robert Parris. I loved Larry Bird. So like the first phone call on draft night that I got was from like another like kind of childhood hero that I had watched up, and him calling me on my cell phone telling me that they're drafting me and spending millions of dollars on me was kind of surreal.
Yeah, that's crazy. And also, was it even like surreal when you played the Magic for the first time?
Yeah, that was probably honestly the most nervous I had ever been playing in a game, because honestly, basketball had come pretty easy to me where I had never gotten nervous. And then I played on big stages and March Madness and playoffs. But for whatever reason, knowing that, you know, everybody I grew up with, all my family, everybody that was close to me is there. And I knew they were watching when I was on the road, but that hit a little harder.
Do you know who Bones Highland is?
I do.
Did you see that story? That was crazy. Yeah. On the Nuggets, 500 people came to watch.
And there was something where like a firefighter saved him from a fire and they all came
too. Exactly. I saw that. Like, I think what happened was like his house was burning down, and then they told him he could never play basketball again. And then because of those firefighters, he could. And I saw they gave him like a jacket.
And he was hooping too. He killed that game.
Yeah, I know. He had like 21. I think he was like 5 for 7 on threes.
Now you're just showing
off. Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of House of Highlights videos. That's for sure. because, well, I guess because you were from Orlando, when you played the Magic, did you go off? Like,
so my first couple of years, they were really good. That was like the Dwight Howard, Jameer Nelson, Turkoglu, Ryan Anderson, Rashard Lewis. They went to the finals that year. And I remember my first couple of games, I didn't play much as my rookie year. And so I remember we played Orlando on Christmas Day in Orlando, and I didn't play. And I was devastated. Ugh. And I was on the West Coast, so I only played them that one time in Orlando. Yeah. So that was it till my second year. But then, yeah, I used to cook them all the time when I'd go back home.
I can't imagine what it would be like just like being there and thinking about how when you were a kid, you used to go there and like look at that and be like, that was your dream. And then you got to just like...
It's funny because my grandpa had season tickets, row G or section G, row 106. And I would like when I was playing, I would remember I would be looking at that section. Yeah. Thinking like, damn, I used to sit there and like watch these guys play it.
Okay, so who is your least favorite player to play against? Like who every time they were dribbling up the ball, you're just like, I do not want to guard them. That's just so tough.
You know what's funny? I have three players that were very good players, but not like, you know, Hall of Fame guys that just used to destroy me. One was Wilson Chandler, one was Rudy Gay, and one was Danny Granger. And they all got buckets. Like they were all very, very good. No, but I'm talking like 30, 40 every single time they saw me, like they would just destroy me.
Yeah, I saw something where I feel like it was like Draymond or something. And he was talking about people that are like just not fun to guard. And I think he said Reggie Jackson. And I was sort of like, that's so random.
I get Reggie Jackson. He's very shifty. He's crafty. The way he handles the ball, it's unique. So it makes him very hard to cover.
Speaking of that, the Clippers without Paul George have been, I mean, Reggie Jackson's been balling this year.
It's really impressive with Ty Lue and what they're doing. Yeah. And, you know, guys like Luke Kennard and, you know, they have a lot of these role players that have kind of been pushed into this bigger role with Marcus Morris. These guys are really hooping. And, you know, if they make the playoffs, which I think they're going to, and they get those two guys back, that'll be fun to watch.
And the young guys like Terrence Mann and stuff, they've been playing so well too.
They're deep, they're young, they're athletic, they're big. And then they got two stars just on the show.
When they come back, that's going to be crazy.
You like the Clippers over the Lakers?
No, I'm a Warriors fan. Oh. Yeah, I like the Clippers over the Lakers.
Were you always a Warriors fan? Or are you now a Warriors fan because they're good?
Like, I really, people always ask me that. And I have to be like, I show them this one picture of me when I was like 8. Yeah. And like, okay, maybe they had like one chip. But like still, I was 8. So that's like that was like the beginning of when I could start to be a fan.
Just don't go switching to the Lakers once they get good in the war.
Oh, first off, that's not going to happen. And second of all, I won't. And like, I know that this isn't as bad as like being a Magic fan just like forever. Yeah. But like when the Warriors, when Steph broke his hand and Klay was out, like I was like there when like Kai Bowman was the starting point guard. And I know that was just a year, but I was there.
Yeah.
Like I was like, come on, Alec Burks, win us the game. Like that's not a fun thing to say.
Well, I think they got a chance this year.
They've only played 11 minutes with each other in 3 years.
I think, I mean, listen, they got two of the best shooters of all time on their team. And when they're healthy, it's all about health going into the playoffs. Like whoever's, even the Lakers, like I think the Lakers are garbage right now, right? But if the minute they get fully healthy and then they can get hot for a month and win it all, why not?
I mean, I don't think they're going to get hot for a month and win it all. That's...
Right, but I'm just saying, like they have two top 10 players in the world with LeBron and AD. If they're healthy, I don't want to play them first round.
Threw shade on Russ there.
I love Russ. He's a Hall of Famer, but...
He's now a 79 overall in 2K.
But you know what? Russ is, he's one of the greatest point guards of all time. He's one of the greatest players. And he's just not a good fit on that team. Like, they should have went for shooting. They should have went. I would rather have, like, a Halliburton and Buddy Hield than Westbrook to mesh with that team.
It's unfortunate because it would be so cool to see them all win a chip. But
yeah,
it just wasn't the right fit. Okay, so now let's segue into definitely my favorite segment. Takes Hotter Than Kelly Oubre Jr.
Oh, boy.
Stephen A. Smith is known for his hot takes, but have you ever seen Takes Hotter Than Kelly Oubre Jr.? I don't think so. Not until the two of us are about to get really hot. Okay, so it doesn't have to be exactly in 10 seconds, but I just want you to give me like a pretty quick answer. So first off, which NBA player is the best dressed?
Oof, the best dressed NBA. I mean, people like Russ's style, but I think it's a little out there. Yeah, I'm more of like a classy Mike Conley style.
Nice. Did you see Jared Allen at the All-Star game?
Pathetic.
So funny. Like, I understood his point.
You know what? That's what makes him such a good teammate and a player, because he's so simple and he doesn't, no matter how many All-Stars championships, that dude's not changing.
No. Okay, so next, who has the best shoe game? I mean, I like your shoes.
My shoe game is pretty good. I'm retired, so I'm going to take me out of this. PJ Tucker, by far.
You know he has a house for his shoes?
He's got every Jordan, every Nike, every shoe you could ever imagine.
Next, who is the funniest NBA player?
The funniest NBA player? I think Luka is hilarious. Like, yeah. He's people don't see that side of him very much, just because, I mean, he hasn't been around that long, and he's pretty serious on the court. But he's a humble, quiet, soft-spoken guy, but he's hilarious.
Yeah, I like when he juggles the basketball like a soccer ball.
Oh, yeah. All the European guys are so good at that. Yeah.
To be honest, though, I think if I went into a juggling contest with Luka, like soccer juggling.
I can't even juggle with my hands.
I've done like 300 in my day.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, Luka would definitely beat me in a 1v1 basketball-wise, but soccer, I think I have it on him.
Wow. You got to set that up.
Oh, please do. Please do. Okay, so... Oh, wow, that was such a perfect segue, and I didn't even mean to. Which NBA player would be the best professional soccer player?
It's got to be a European guy. You know who's nasty at soccer? Is Joel Embiid.
Really?
He'd probably be a goalie, but he is nasty at soccer.
Well, he would cover the whole goal.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I was thinking goalie.
He would just be like, you'd shoot it, try to go top corner, and he wouldn't even move. He'd just put his hand out there and like grab it. Okay, so then who of any of your NBA teammates was the best singer? Like, who in the locker room were you just like, wow, this beautiful voice?
I honestly don't know if any...
Probably none of them.
No.
Well, Dame and Miles Bridges rap.
I mean, they rap and Shumpert, like, dances.
Yeah, dances.
Kind of. So singing, I don't know that I've ever heard any of my teammates, like, really sing. I wouldn't even know who to pick. You know what? No one sings. I guess, yeah, Dame raps.
But that's not, like, singing, like, opera.
Yeah, that's not really a trait of the NBA guys, I guess. Yeah.
Maybe if you're really good at basketball, you just have a horrible voice.
Can't have it all.
Yeah, exactly. No one's perfect. Okay, so which NBA player would you vote for president?
Which NBA player would I vote for president? It would be like an older guy. It would be a guy that's been around for a while. I would vote for like a Jeff Green type, someone that's been around the block, yeah. Vet, plays right, plays smart, good decision maker. I feel like someone like Jeff Green I'd go with.
Yeah, I feel like Iggy would be a really good president.
Iguodala would be great. Someone, exactly.
Because the only reason I think he's even on the Warriors is to sort of be like the, well, not the president, but he's just there to be like the vet. I swear he's played 4 games.
Those guys like Iguodala, Vince Carter, those guys that keep getting deals at the end of their career, those are the presidential candidates. Chris Paul would be a great president.
Well, totally. Well, isn't he the president of the Players Association?
Yeah, exactly. He's got practice. He's a leader. Go with
CP. Sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger. That'd be cool if like once like LeBron retires or something, he just like runs for governor of California.
Yeah, probably not LeBron, but I'd take
Well, yeah, okay, fine. Let's just go with Chris Paul of maybe the governor of Arizona.
There we go.
Interesting.
That would work.
That would. Okay, so which NBA player do you think would be the best TikToker?
You know, I'm not on TikTok. Obviously, I know what TikTok is, and
Why?
I'm familiar. I just haven't got there yet. I feel like a real old head when I'm saying this, but like I haven't got there. Definitely would be like these younger, like Trae Young would feel like would be good on TikTok. He's kind of dancey.
RJ Hampton is famous on TikTok, and I always think that's funny.
Me and Michael's best friend, Dan Frank, is his agent. I had no idea he was big on TikTok. But someone like that, one of these younger millennial
Quentin
type kids.
Quentin Grimes, he's like good at TikTok.
Is he?
Yeah. He posts funny things like after the game, he'll just post. And then there's Trey Man, I think is his name, on OKC.
He went to Florida.
He's a decent TikToker.
And what are they? They dance?
Well, they dance. They do like, here is the life of an NBA player.
And they like show like shoot around or film or.
Yeah, basically. And they're like, they like show like RJ Hampton does like a lot of like magic facility and early in the morning stuff. He's decent at that.
That's cool.
But some of those NBA teams, like they go crazy on TikTok. Or the NFL teams, I mean. Like the Lions. Oh, actually, the Kings have a really funny TikTok.
Lions have to do something to stay relevant.
Yeah, exactly. Same with the Kings. Like their TikTok manager, I swear, outwardly just like, we suck, so we might as well be good at TikTok.
Is it more humor or is it more just like personal show you like...
Like humor stuff. Like, this is the first time we've beat the Lakers in 30 years.
So kind of clown themselves.
Yeah, they basically clown themselves.
Cool.
But I feel like maybe the guys that are the best at TikTok are the guys who don't really get that many minutes.
It's dicey too, because when people start seeing you do stuff like that and then you play bad, it's people want to judge you for everything you do off the court, which is ridiculous. But yeah, they got to be careful doing that stuff.
Okay, so I have to admit, I think I do know a lot about the NBA, and you probably do too. So I thought it would be fun to invite you to play a game with me called Sloan Knows. And to be fair, I haven't seen any of these cards yet. So I'll read a question, and then you'll read a question, and then we'll flip over the card, and then each other, we have to guess. But these are definitely starting off simple. Okay, so whose nickname is the Greek Freak?
Giannis. Which NBA player starred in a Burger King commercial as a kid?
Okay, I'm going to guess.
This is easy?
I feel like it has to be an NBA player's, like the dad was an NBA player, because like, I don't know why, I just feel like that. Maybe.
This is the second easiest question, which is what's wrong. Okay, I'm going to guess like Eric Gordon, just because he looks like the little kid in Space Jam, and maybe it was him.
That's fair. This is like definitely not right, but I'm just going to say Seth Curry. It just somehow feels...
You said Seth Curry. It's Steph Curry. What? He was in Burger King?
By the way, I knew that somehow. I had like an intuition.
Unfortunately, you got it wrong.
Well, okay. Well, I was close. NBA champion Kyrie Irving was born in which country?
He was born in Australia.
Yeah, you got that one. Okay, so which NBA player is 6'9 and a Scorpio and from Florida?
Me.
Yeah. He seems so confused.
Okay. Oof. Which NBA player went to medical school?
Feels like Kevin Love, but it's probably not.
I'm going to say Iguodala. But even though he didn't, I don't even think he graduated college.
Yeah, he didn't.
Pau Gasol.
Huh.
I was confused with the question. I was thinking current NBA players. It's interesting, too, because he's from Spain. He didn't play college basketball, so I would never have guessed him.
And that actually makes sort of sense, because you couldn't... Did you even go to that many classes when you played?
Is this on the record or off the record? I went to all of them.
Okay, but let's just pretend no one's listening.
Very few.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, so which former NBA player is over 7 feet tall and won championships with both the Lakers and the Miami Heat?
I know. There's two.
Okay, give me both.
LeBron and Shaq.
Seven-footer.
Shaq. No, it's definitely Shaq.
This isn't really part of anything, but... LeBron or MJ, I'm just going to end with that because it feels right.
You know what? Michael Jordan is my favorite player of all time. I think he's the GOAT. He's the coolest, dopest brand, dopest logo. I think LeBron James is better at basketball.
Oh my God, that is not what I thought.
You know what? How I compare? You know like the Razor phones or the Sidekicks back in the day? The cell phones?
Yeah.
Really cool, right? Dope. We thought it was the best thing ever. Then the iPhone came out. That's Michael Jordan and LeBron. LeBron's just a faster, better, stronger version. And it's not fair. It's not a fair argument because now LeBron has the resources and all the craziest technology and things like that to
stats-wise, it's not even a question. But
yeah, and I just think when you look at him, I think obviously they're top two. So the fact that we're arguing over one and two is nice. Yes. But I would go with LeBron.
I feel like almost kids can't even speak on it because like I wasn't alive to see the like magic of MJ.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched like videos, but I wasn't there really being able to like watch MJ. And
the guy was unbelievable.
The other day I came from soccer practice and it was like really late. And like LeBron just like shot. That was the night he had 50 for the second time. And he like shot this sort of like fadeaway jumper and it just like went really high. Like I can't really explain what was so amazing about it, but it was so high arcing and it went in and I just sort of looked at that and I was like, I can't believe I'm watching that.
Jordan is way more likable.
Yeah.
And...
Well, you don't like Taco Tuesday?
I don't. He's really corny.
Taco Tuesday. But Michael Jordan also didn't have social media while he played.
It's true. If social media was following all these guys around where they're going to dinner and TMZs of the world and all this stuff, it would be a totally different
ballgame. I like that you posted a photo dump in Cabo because I posted one at the same place. Yeah. And I was like, look at you being a teenage girl on social media. That's impressive.
That's more Haley doing the aesthetic look of my, I'm not really good at that, but.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
And my page was private because this lawsuit I was in with the car crash I got in Atlanta. So now I'm back open. So now I'll start getting.
And now you're all photo dumpy.
Yeah, I'll get with it.
Well, but anyway, but like also we don't know if MJ had TikTok, he could be like doing the whole like, do you know who Jared McCain is?
No.
Okay. So he's this like, he just won Gatorade State Player of the Year and he's on Centennial, which won the state championship. And he has 1 million followers on TikTok and he does like the whole dance thing. And like, you never know.
Doesn't that Mahomes brother, he's
everyone says that whenever the Chiefs lose, everyone is like the reason why they lost.
He always gets ethered at the games.
I don't know if this is true, but apparently because of all of his social media presence, Patrick Mahomes requested that his
brother doesn't go to the game and his wife.
Yeah. Well, his wife, that's mean.
The brother's kind of getting to the point where he's a distraction. They're talking about him more than like Patrick and the Chiefs. So it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it is. Like, it's really funny that they'll be like losing and he'll just be just like, you know, doing all these dances. Yeah. Yeah. But he gets a large amount of hate. But I'm just saying, like, you know, I would like to see like a LeBron MJ TikTok battle.
That would be interesting. I don't think MJ would ever give in. I feel like the old school guys are so cut in their ways. I could see LeBron on TikTok.
Does TikTok Shaq's with his hilarious sons.
He Shaq is such an awesome dude, like such a big personality. Like Shaq's the best.
To an NBA player who's 6'9", does Shaq even look so giant?
Monster.
Really?
So I went to Houston right after Yao Ming left, but he would always come around.
Uh-huh.
That dude, it's,
I'm sure.
I have a picture with him. I got to show you guys one day. I look like you next to me is what I look like next to Yao Ming.
Really?
It's nuts.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like when I stand next to you, I'm like, I look up at you and I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So it's crazy to think that there's people on earth.
There's like Boban, Yao Ming, like the, even like big, like Joel Embiid Boban's and like DeMarcus Cousins. These guys are huge.
Yeah. Like, oh, well, Kawhi's hands. Oh my God. They're so big. It's crazy. I don't know if you've seen it. There's this thing where he holds like four water, like those water bottles, the Arrowhead ones. He holds like four of them in his hand. And he just like, well, the claw. I mean, it makes sense, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Anyway, this was so fun.
There we go. I think you're going to be a big hit.
Thanks for listening to Sloan Notes. Keep up to date with me and all of my other interviews by following Sloan Knows on TikTok and Instagram. Sloan has an E, by the way. If you want to see all the fun NBA action coming from me, because I know the NBA, make sure to leave a review. Thanks for listening to Sloan Notes.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.